Why don't you go ahead and open up to John? Yes. Sixth chapter. We'll begin with the 46th verse. We may make it over to Hebrews. Hallelujah. All right, we found out from Noah and the commandment God gave him concerning sacrifice that they were not to, whether they ate an animal for food or whether they offered him for sacrifice, they were not to drink the blood. Because the blood, he says, was for the atonement of the soul. And if they drank the blood or ate the blood, then he said, you wouldn't be atoned, you wouldn't be covered. And the same beast that the dread of you was upon would turn on you and kill you. And of course, the first couple of lessons when we got into this part, we talked about that great authority they had under the type. Because the first thing he said to Noah when he landed was, the dread of you will be upon every beast. You'll absolutely dominate and rule. But if you do not cover yourself with this blood under the shadow, he said the same beast that had a dread of you would track you down and kill you. And also at the landing of the ark, he added one more of the commandments, thou shalt not murder. And he said if they murdered, they'd also be killed. So under the shadow, they had that kind of authority that they walked under. As we're learning more about sonship and the authority we have, I think that as we go from glory to glory, we're going to be absolutely shocked in this generation how much is really available to us as He reveals it and we begin to walk in it. Now, I've particularly enjoyed these last few days as He's opened up that position that we have in the bosom of the Father and in fellowship with Him. I've really been enjoying that. That's done something to my walk, and I've been in this a long time. I can't remember when things have come in such close succession. Because in the past, I'd have a breakthrough every year or two of some newer revelation that changed my life some, but it's been coming in succession now, like two or three or four a year. Things are changing so fast I can hardly keep up. Nevertheless, I'm awful happy about it. Glory be to God. So in the commandment not to drink that blood, because the atonement's in the blood, the life's in it, and if that life that was in that blood wasn't offered for a sacrifice and instead they turn around and drank it, then of course that animal did not become the sacrifice for them, so they wasn't atoned. Well, in Leviticus 17, he not only said not to drink the blood, but he actually said they needed to bury it. They needed to bury it when they killed an animal for food or sacrificed him out on an altar, they needed to bury the blood. But you can understand the dilemma this placed the Jews in that was following Jesus. When he said, Moses gave you bread to eat from heaven. And he said, they're dead. But the bread I give you, which is my flesh, will spring up into life everlasting. You know. And then they was a little bit confused about it. And he said, look, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, he said, you won't have my life in you. So can you imagine the confusion this caused the Jews? That they's under such strict commandment, under law, such strict law, that he would come up with a statement like that. That had to be confusing. Well, Jesus went on before this teaching was over. And he explained himself. You know, by the end of it, he said, look, the flesh profits nothing. You know, the bread that came down from heaven that Moses gave, it really didn't profit anything. That was all under the shadow. It couldn't change nothing. He said, it's impossible for the blood of goats and bulls, he said, to purge you from sin. To purge your spirit from the consciousness of sin. He said, the flesh really profits nothing. It's the spirit that quickeneth. He wasn't talking about the Holy Spirit there. And we think that he is because we know that a spirit that's born of spirit is our human spirit. So we're thinking, well, it was the Holy Spirit that gave us life in this verse we're about to approach to. But that wasn't what he was saying. He was saying that bread that came down from heaven couldn't give you anything but natural life. He said the flesh really profits nothing. It's the spirit that quickeneth. Meaning, the life that you have really comes from your human spirit. It is your human spirit that gives you life. That's why he said, you'll see the Son of Man ascend back up into heaven. What if you see him ascend back into heaven? For it is the human spirit that gives life, or it is from your human spirit that life comes from. And he that eateth of me, Jesus said, as I live by the Father, he that eateth me shall live by me. Meaning, that same life that was in him was in spirit. He took it in from the Father. And he that eateth him will take that same life into his spirit from Jesus. And as we know, the life was in the blood, and that's what that represented. That you drank my blood. And actually, talking of his resurrection blood, you will take his life. You'll take his life into your spirit. And he said, you'll never die. And I won't. I'm going to change clothes. And I'm not dying. When I get done changing clothes, I'm going to look a lot better. Hallelujah. All right, let's pick this up then. Let's pick it up with the 46th verse. He said, not that any man has seen the Father. Not that any man has seen the Father. So what do they do? Keep Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. What do they keep them in some isolated part of heaven where the Father, they never see him? I mean, these people that write books that Adam's been in heaven for 6,000 years. He said, not that any man has seen the Father at any time. Well, what is my flesh the man? I'm spirit. I'm just clothed in this. I have that gives me an authority to operate in this world, and I'm in a natural world, but I'm spirit. When he's done with creation, there's new heaven and new earth. Hey, you know, the whole universe is going to be, it's going to be something that we can identify with in our glorified bodies. Nevertheless, he said, no man has seen the Father at any time. What are we going to do? Moses, what did he look like? Abraham. Oh, Abraham's up there with the angels. No, he is now. I wonder how Abraham felt when he died and went to his own bosom. You know, Abraham's bosom was a nice place. You think that God can't fix up a real nice place? for waiting out the dispensations. Think again. He said they were comforted. Now there's one thing, being comfortable and comforted. They were comforted. I can imagine how it was as they waited the dispensations out. It really must have been something. Nevertheless, Jesus said, no man has seen God at any time. No man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. He has seen the Father. And of course, he's talking of his humanity here. He's talking about the human spirit that came into existence at the hand of the Father. That the mighty Logos, second person in the Godhead, it locks your mind up, but he poured himself into that. Nevertheless, he said, there is no human being that has seen the Father at any time, save he which has seen the Father. And in two other places, he says, who's in the bosom of the Father. And the other place, he said, who is in heaven, the Son of Man, who is in heaven. Well, as he is, so are we in this world. And the as he is talking about him and his glorified humanity in particular, in that new nature contained within his spirit. He says, as he is, so are we in this world. And the subject was love, which meant as that new nature that he has and that full capacity for agape. He says, he's there, but I'm on this planet. He said, I have the capacity to walk in the same thing here as he has there. And Jesus was teaching on the rebirth. He said, I'm the only begotten of the Father. None of you have been born again yet. But he said, even though I'm standing on this planet, I am in the bosom of the Father. And the bosom means that intimate, most intimate, secret place of intimacy and fellowship. So even though I'm standing on this planet, I'm the begotten Son of the Father. And I stand in my new nature, in that place, in the bosom of my Father. Now, as he is so in this world, I stand there too. I stand there too. And I'm starting to understand peace as I never have before. Of course, perfect love casts out fear, and fear has torment. Obviously, what replaces it is peace. Obviously. Well, I understand peace now. I understood it. And some in the first degrees of receiving it after 2.5 major fasts. That I then understood it as a stillness on the inside of me. Didn't stop the wars around me. But it stopped them from controlling me. But the more that I get into the lack of torment and fear, the more I understand it as a fortress and impenetrable, absolute impenetrable place of quietness and stillness that cannot be breached. Well, I know where that is now. That's where my new nature put me. Even though I'm standing on this planet, I am in the bosom of the Father. Hallelujah, I'm there. Of all the limbs, the revelation limb, praying in the Holy Ghost, is the Holy Spirit ministering to my human spirit as my teacher. God, I love that. I love that ministry. He wants to teach your spirit so he can give you power. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you, praying in tongues is a revelation. That's the Holy Spirit fellowshipping with my spirit. I love that. That's Him to me. Gosh, I like that. Well, speaking the word in meditation is me pouring myself out in the authority and the knowledge of God. I love that. That's how my knowledge of Him increases and my authority. I love that. Fasting. The fasting limb. It's where I keep my flesh under subjection and force it down below an operation of my human spirit. by executing the positional truth Jesus gave to the thing before I get a glorified body. And that's dead. So fasting executes that. There's a lot of fellowship in fasting with God. Then there's the angel's lamb. Oh, the angel's lamb, which I enjoy what my authority will do to the incorporate structure of heaven, how she goes into motion as I understand how that faith and commands of faith and authority is carried out on heavenly planes. I enjoy my angel now. I know he's following me around. I'll enjoy the day when I get to see him. Where are you? I know he's there. And I tell you, when I recognize and understand him and learn to flow with him, a whole lot less devils come into my presence and tries to torment my mind. They're a little nervous with 7 foot of fury standing right by them. What'd you say, little devil? Did you hear that? What'd he say? Did you hear that? Oh, did you hear that? Did you notice him, devil? That's great. That's great. All those limbs. It's just absolutely great. On the born again trail. Born again tree. Are they not? But the worship limb, that has to do with you in the bosom of the Father. All those others, was you recognizing your authority in Him and recognizing the Holy Spirit as your teacher and revelation gift and power giver, tongues, all those things, fasting, recognizing them as authority that is given and yet you give, and the places in God, but there's one. You know, that worship lamb. There's one which is strictly, strictly your flow, your fellowship, your fellowship to your Father. Only possible through the new nature. So here you are, born and translated into the bosom of the Father, and hold a position of intimacy, a place where you can give Him and fellowship with Him what He desires to walk with you in even before you get to heaven. Hallelujah. Even before you get to heaven. Whew. So that's the worship lamb. Praying in tongues is the Holy Spirit to me. You know, that's Him ministering to me. Worship is me ministering to my Father. Fasting is Him ministering to my flesh. Worship is me ministering to the Father. Speaking His Word and meditating is me ministering my authority to Him and increasing myself in the knowledge of Him. But worship is me ministering to Him. Yes. To Him. That's the one that won't cease. For there's tongues, they'll cease, they'll pass away. For there's prophecy, when that which is perfect is come. Why? I don't need revelation gifts when that which is perfect is come. What do I need revelation gifts for? Prophecy and praying in tongues. They'll cease. Love will never cease. Well, does that mean it'll never fail? I'll never be martyred and I'll never run out of money. That isn't what it said. It said it'll never cease, which means when that which is perfect is come, you'll cross the barrier of death and continue to operate in that kind of fellowship with Him. You may be honored to give your life as a martyr. He may honor you like that. Hallelujah. Don't you consider that an honor? Oh, I understand it's an automatic big increase of reward when they're going to kill you if you don't do what they say instead of what God says. And you say, kill me. So they kill you. It's kind of simple. That love would not have failed you. See, because she crosses over with you. See, I don't need a revelation gift when I'm there. Goodness, I'm drinking in the atmosphere. I sure need it here. But that doesn't change the fact that positionally, when I was born again, I was translated out of darkness into the kingdom of light and hold a position now. The only begotten of the Father, Jesus said, none of you have been born again yet. He says, who is in the bosom of the Father. Well, that's where I am now. I hold that position. I can't say that without saying this again for the sake of future hearing the teaching. That when Jesus sat on the edge of Jacob's well and said, the hour now is when the true worshipers will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Every book I read to worship Him in spirit and in truth, they said was an experience. In other words, you're not in spirit when you first start worshiping, maybe, because you just feel like you're not breaking through and in the flesh. And then eventually He comes and you feel this breakthrough and you finally got to worship Him in spirit and in truth. They speak experientially. But when He said in spirit and truth, He was strictly talking of positional truth, meaning He waited out the dispensations for a man to be born again. And he would have a nature then that he could worship Him in spirit with out of the new nature. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him because He is a spirit. So He was talking of positional truth. Meaning the Old Testament saints could not give Him that kind of worship. That's why He said the hour now is. Meaning there was no hour before this one when anyone could ever give Him what He desired from them. That was the intimacy of the worship of the new nature from the bosom of the Father. So because they said that worshiping in spirit and in truth is was a experiential thing, where if you got into the spirit, and that's what He was talking about. We tried to teach people and say, well, if you're just real dry when you're worshiping, you're really not in the spirit. Well, you know, I spent many days dry when I locked myself in the closet, but I would not stop because I had a commandment from Him to do it. Well, you think, well, I'm just real dry. I'm not getting through. What makes you think, just because you can't feel Him receiving it, that He's not receiving your worship? You're really breaking through. In fact, I think heaven is just really rejoicing that you feel like a slime-eating dog and you're still worshiping Him. So don't stop now. He's talking a positional truth. I can worship Him out of my new nature. Don't stop just because you feel ugly. Believe me, you're getting through. Well, Jesus keeps making reference to these statements here. In 46 verse, when He said, no man has seen the Father save he which is of God, he has seen the Father. And He says, truly, truly, I say, he that believeth on Me has everlasting life. The 48th verse says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness. And then notice this, they're dead. Well, you know, there's a lot of people that ate of Jesus 2,000 years ago and they're dead too. 1,000 years ago they ate of Him and they're dead too. Well, so He's not talking about the same kind of dead. Now, they may have died in their body waiting for a glorified body, but their spirits are running around in heaven. Their real being is running around with Jesus now in heaven. See, so what He was talking about here, your fathers did eat manna in the desert and they're dead. He was talking about they're spiritually dead. They're still spiritually dead. Now he says, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness. They're still spiritually dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that if any man eat thereof and not die, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven. Notice the emphasis, that they may eat thereof and not what? Well, he's certainly not talking about not dying physically, because they've still been dying physically. What, the last 1,000, 500, 2,000 years? But what he was talking about is not die and remain separated from your body and remain in spiritual death and go into a godless eternity. He said, I am the living bread which comes down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I'll give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? I like what Jesus did, you know, and he just he didn't back off and explain himself thoroughly. He just said, in fact, he added something to it, made it. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drank his blood, you'll have no life in you. And that did it. He said, whoso eat my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. And see, and that was the life he was talking about. And I'll raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drink my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. And he explains himself in 57, 58. We really wouldn't have to go any further than these two verses. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father. So the life that he was living by was that life that the living Father gave to him when he said, as the Father had life within himself, he gave to the Son to have life within himself. So being the first human being in 4,000 years to be born spiritually alive, he said, look, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by that life that's from my Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by that life. For as the Father had life within himself and gave to the Son to have life within himself, then the Son gave to you to have life within yourself. Now if you'll kind of hold her and just back up to the 5th chapter for a minute, let's look at that one more time where this happened. 5th chapter. Now the 20th verse of the 5th chapter, very, very closely. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. All right, he loves the Son, and he's going to show him some work that was greater than all the works that had done before that. Well, what kind of works was he making reference to before this great work he was going to show the Son? Well, you don't have to back up to the 5th chapter even. He said, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, or in that disease, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Well, the guy didn't have any problems answering that. Well, as you know, he went on to heal him. Well, then in the 20th verse, for the Father loveth the Son and shows him all things himself doeth, and he will show him greater work than these that you may marvel. And then he goes on to show the greater work than all those Old Testament resurrections and miracles and healings and everything else that was done under the Old Covenant to the spiritually dead man. But he's about to show the Son now a greater work than any work that had ever been done in the Old Testament, because, including Adam, never had one human spirit been quickened from death to life. Not one. So he's about to show the Son a greater work than had ever been done before. And that's what he's making reference to then in the 21st verse. And you might as well know in the 14th chapter when he says, the works I do, you'll do also. And greater, not works, that wasn't in there, it's italics. The works I do, all Old Testament kind, you'll do also. And greater than these, all the Old Testament, will you do, for I go to the Father. So the one work that was greater than any that could ever be done was the quickening of the human spirit. And he said, when I go to the Father, I'll provide that. And then you'll operate in that greater work than has ever been done in the Old Testament. So as the Father had life within Himself, He gave to the Son to have life within Himself. And the Son gave to you to have life within yourself. And that's what He was explaining again in the 6th chapter. He says, as I live by the Father, because I live by that life that He gave me, he that eateth me, he that's born of me, will live by that same nature. And the prominent, dominant nature of your born-again spirit is agape. For as He is, so are we in this world. Perfect love casts out fear. Unbreachable perimeter, and it belongs to you if you're in the bosom of the Father. Hello, worshiper. That's what I say. So look at this promise. Verse 21. I'm going to show you the Son. I'm going to show the Son a greater work than these. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth. Now them is in italics. It wasn't there. Thank you for your help, King James. But I wish you'd stay out of this part. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth. Makes alive. Even so the Son of Man quickeneth whom He will. Now wait a minute now. Who is He showing this greater work to? Who's He showing this greater work to? The 20th verse, the Son. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth, and will show Him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises up the Son, or the dead, the Son, and quickeneth not them, and makes alive, who's He showing this greater work to? The Son. Even so then, after the Son is quickened from the dead, He will quicken whom He will. For as the Father had life within Himself, He gave to the Son to have life within Himself, and the Son gave to me. And as He lived by the Father, I live by Him. Glory to God. Thank you. Watch out, devil. You're just beginning to get into trouble. We need to have a talk, devil. Stay out of my space. I want my city, devil. I live here and my kids grow up here, so I'm just taking it too. I'm going down in history as a panty waste. You and I are going to go down in history as taking a modern day city. Hallelujah. Well, notice what he says. For as the Father raises up the dead or a dead spirit and makes it alive, this miracle he's showing the Son, even so the Son, he's going to try and quicken whom he will. And for this reason, 22, says the Father judgeth no man. Why? Why won't he? Because every man was judged in the Son. For the Father judgeth no man, committed all judgment to the Son. Well, is he going to judge him? No, no. Now, any man that comes to him and says, save me, he'll be saved, because the Father doesn't judge any man. He judged the whole human race in the Son. He said, when that he died, we're all dead. And when you accept him, then you accept his life. That every man that comes to him, he can accept, because he's not judging him for his own sins, because he judged Jesus for that man. Therefore, he judges no man. And when you accept Jesus, then your judgment took place in him, and you go free. Hallelujah. And you get quickened. New creation comes into existence. Same person doesn't live there anymore. Hallelujah. Woo, I tell you, watch out. The Father judges no man. He's committed all judgment to the Son, that all men should honor the Son. I mean, who else is there to honor? All your judgment was laid on him. Even as they honor the Father. You can't even come to him without going through the Son. So the only way to come to the Father is by honoring the Son. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father, which has sent him. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation. That is this eternal judgment, isolated in eternity from God, but has passed from spiritual death to spiritual life. Truly, I say unto you, the hour cometh, and now is. This is the 40-year millennial hour, which the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and all in Abraham's bosom, that he goes down and hears his voice, is going to come alive and live. See, if you ever got mixed up over that verse, truly, the hour cometh now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear live. You know, you're at a funeral, and the preacher quotes that, and they will come. Mm. When they're dead. It used to confuse me, because I'm thinking, now wait a minute. Am I there? Or am I there? Doesn't that bother you? It should bother a guy that he doesn't understand the 8/10 of the Bible, you know. Shouldn't that bother you? I mean, if you're in the grave, the day coming when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear will live. I mean, I thought you were up there. What are you doing there? He wasn't talking about your physical resurrection here. He said, the hour is here, the generation I live in, when I'm going to give myself and be quickened. When I'm quickened, I'll go to Abraham's bosom and fulfill this promise. See, this is the promise that he fulfilled to Abraham. When he says, you believe I can quicken the dead or take a dead spirit and bring it from death to life? And Abraham said, yea, God. He says, good. I'm laying righteousness onto your account and calling those things that be not, which you see spiritually dead spirit, as though it is already alive, because you believe that I'm going to bring the Son of God, the seed. All these promises are made to him. When the time comes, I'm going to quicken him from death to life. Well, here's the fulfilling of the promise to Abraham. Is that I swear to you, if I can swear by no greater, I swear by myself. One member of the Godhead swore to another. God didn't stand up and say, I'm so great. I'm just the greatest there is. There's nobody higher than me. So I'm just going to swear by myself. No, that isn't what he was saying. He said, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. What kind of sense is that? If he's not a mediator of one, why did he say God's one? Is he one member of the mediation? No, he said a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. What is he talking about? A mediator has to have two parties that he mediates between. But God is one. And God could swear by no greater. He swore by himself, meaning that all Abraham did was took the human race and got in on the mediation between the Father and the Son, seed singular, who the promises were made. So God looked down the corridors of time before Jesus was ever born and began to swear by himself to the second person in the Godhead. And Abraham was the mediator and brought the flesh in to that covenant. Anyway, so here's the fulfilling of the promise. You got all that? I know you're keeping up with me. Repeat it all back. I know she can't. So here's the fulfilling of the promise. The hour now is. A millennial hour is 40 years. A day is 1,000. 1,000 years is a day. A millennial hour is 40 years. That's why he said the hour now is. When the dead shall hear the voice, because I am keeping my promise to Abraham when he believed I could quicken the dead, so they're all coming out with me. Hallelujah. They'll hear my voice, and they that hear it will live. You mean everybody didn't hear it? That's why he said, they that hear shall live. Not everybody that died under the old dispensation got preached to in hell. Are you keeping up with me? Makes you wonder what's in the Word. All right, we're heading towards the verse now. You understand 25 now. Truly, truly, I say unto you, the 40 years is coming and now is, because we're in it. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, they that hear. Not everybody had a salvation plan under the Old Testament. Not everybody adhered to it. But they that did got to hear his voice that day.
Well, I thought he preached to everybody that died before the cross.
Well, if that's the case, I'd rather live then. Here you are living after the flesh, wreaking havoc, war, killing people, Hitler kind of guy. On the old, before the cross, one of those dictators and murderers back then. Living on some island, killing all your friends, and then you die, and you're in torment. With the rich man down there. You guys are burning, begging for water. And all of a sudden, here comes Jesus. Oh, I just thought I'd drop in and check and see if any of you guys want to go to the glories of heaven. Take me! Take me! But you poor, miserable people on the planet now, if some of us don't get to you and convince you that Jesus Christ is Lord, you don't get to burn to make the decision. I mean, after you went to hell and burned for a while, then he come, you'd say, you were right, you were right, let me out. What makes you think that's happening in the old? Because I'd rather live than. Because it wouldn't matter how I live. Believe me, if I was burning by the time he got there, I'd say, I'm coming. I'm coming. So now, you poor miserable creature, your salvation is determined by us. For crying out loud, most of us barely get in because we'd rather serve greed and flesh and all those kinds of things than the kingdom. Just can't see giving your life as beneficial and separating provision from pound. I can't do it. I can't. Why? Because as sure as you separate it, the next day somebody will walk up and hand you $30,000 and you know it's not yours. I just can't pray that last prayer. Hallelujah. So we have an interesting verse here. Again, looking at it one more time. Verily I say unto you, the hour is coming, and guess what? It's arrived.
when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And he gives you the reason they'll live now in the 26th verse. Of course, this goes back then to 21. It's the Father raises up, can make a dead spirit alive. This miracle he's showing the Son, and then the Son can turn around and give that life to whomsoever he will. He said, because I've committed all judgment to him. So the 26th verse is saying this. It's the fulfilling of it. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life within himself. In the 21st verse, the Son gave me life within myself, his life. So you do understand then the 6th chapter when he said in the 57th verse, for as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father. 26 and 57. As the living Father, the eternal life that was in him, everlasting life, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, speaking of his glorified humanity, so he that eateth me, born again trail, he shall live by me. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, my friend. Hallelujah. I don't think there's a day that I do not thank him for the next realm of revelation that I entered into a little over 2 years ago, whom he affectionately called the Born Again Trail. As I live by the Father, Jesus said, he that eateth me shall live by me. For as he is, so are we in this world. The perfect love that has the potential to emanate through my soul and my whole being from that new nature absolutely casts out torment and fear, sets up an impenetrable barrier, cannot be breached, made out of stillness and quietness, peace and love, dominates my new nature. Hallelujah. Well, let's go on. 57 again. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, he that eateth me shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. They're dead. Now again, he's talking spiritually dead. They eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Now these things said he in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can bear it? Well, they're still saying that. You know, you have to sin. What are you saying? You can't live by your new nature? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured, verse 61, he said unto them, does this offend you? And he asked an interesting question then. What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? And he tells how this is possible. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. Now after all that complication that everybody messes up. He answers. He answers the mystery of his own teaching in one statement. King James got it right. I mean, it must have been a temptation, and I don't know how long they deliberated over big S or little s here. How many's Bible has a big S? For it is the Spirit that quickeneth. Who has a big S? But I want you to notice here, it's a little S. He said, you know why you'll see the Son of Man ascend back to heaven? Because it is the Spirit, little S, they got it right, that quickeneth, gives life. It's the Spirit that gives life. Then he said, the flesh profits nothing. This is why Moses gave you that bread from heaven, and he's dead. But it's the Spirit, and I'm the one who can give you this life. For he that eateth me will live by me. I'm the one that can, he that drinketh my blood, which is that life that was in my blood. Every animal sacrifice, they kept doing it year after year because they couldn't cleanse the conscience from sin because it kept laying his sins on. They kept dying. But then when the sacrifice, they were a type of come, not only was your sin laid on him, and did he die, but he rose from the dead. And now that life that's in him, which is in his Spirit, which was represented in the old covenant by the blood, that was the life that was in an animal. When he gave his life for you, it sustained you temporarily, as that animal died in your place for another year so God could answer your prayers. But now this man rose from the dead. And then when you and I drank of his life or that resurrection, our spirits came alive. For it is the Spirit that gives you life. They eat the manna in the wilderness and they're dead. Because the flesh profits nothing. It is the Spirit that receives the life.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now the guy could get excited about this, but not in 2 minutes. Hallelujah. Well, then he said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit. And they are life. So when you give yourselves to them, you're giving yourself to me. When you do what I say and keep my commandments, me and my Father, we will come and make our abode with you. You'll be in me, I'll be in you, and the Father will be in us. And it'll all be through that new nature. He wasn't even mentioning the Holy Spirit. You keep his commandments, the Father will come and move in with you with that new nature. And you will be translated into the bosom of the Father. He'll be in you, you'll be in him. Then he started talking about the Holy Ghost after that. That's a separate thing. I am in the bosom of the Father. His words are Spirit, and they are life. As Jesus said, as I live by the Father, which he lived by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, he that eateth me, he shall live by me. I am a new creation. I am a new man. I now live, have my being, take my instructions from every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of my Father. Hallelujah. I am a new being. I'm a new creation. Do you feel victorious?
Yes.
So do I.